Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnos from Home Street Bank.
And I'm Reba Hass from Team Reba.
And we're here every Saturday from 2 to 3 o'clock to bring you information on real estate and finance and always try and bring on interesting local guests.
Yes, we like the interesting focus.
That's right. Today
we have lots of interesting focus.
We sure do.
Yeah. I've heard you make jokes about, you know, like, oh, we like to bring on live, you know, I was like, good gosh, yes, I hope they're all live, not dead guests. But yes.
Lively.
Not just live.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a prerequisite. Absolutely. Yes. You know, but, and today I'm really excited about our guests because, you know, there's been so much talk in the news, in the press about the homeless situation.
Yeah.
And you and I think are going to dedicate a special show to talk about that.
We
because,
will.
You know, we have some
I think June 12th will be a good time for us to do that.
Okay, let's do
yeah,
that.
June 12th we'll do that. Because I'm looking at our calendar and that's open. We don't have a guest that week.
There we go.
And I think now that would be a great time to do it. But, you know, so not only is it the, you know, the homelessness situation, but affordability. That's really kind of where the focus of today's conversation is going to go is, you know, people getting to a place where there's less affordability for them, especially on, say, fixed incomes. And what do you do? Because as you and I both know, because we're both homeowners and we work with lots of homeowners, it's very expensive to maintain a home.
Absolutely. You know, people say, hey, what'd you do this weekend? It's like, oh, let me think. Carpentry, plumbing, electrical, you know, yard work. It takes a lot to maintain a home.
Yeah, and or just the cost of services. Because while you have the skill set to do a lot of those things, I do not. I'm really good at hiring people for that kind of stuff. And in fact, actually, while I was on my vacation the last 2 weeks, while I was in Maui, I had workmen in my house when my staff was there putting in the backsplash, helping finish off the kitchen remodel that I'd been doing.
But even as our housing market has taken off, the cost of doing that work has increased exponentially.
We have the highest
labor costs, you know, for the trades in the Northwest compared to anywhere else in the nation. So our guest today, you know, is really taking a spearhead against tackling that problem of what if you're in your home already, you're on a fixed income, you're disabled, you're a veteran, you're elderly. You know, and you see things slipping. You know, the home needs maintenance.
Well, let's introduce our guest.
I'm really happy to have with us today Caleb Marshall. And Caleb, you're the executive director of Rebuilding Together Seattle, correct?
Yes. Thank you so much
welcome.
For having me. I'm so excited. Radio is one of my favorite formats. So
absolutely great to have you here with
us.
And
you set me up great, except for saying that I also have to be interesting and lively.
No.
Well, I'll try to deliver. I mean, information I can handle.
But. No pressure.
Yeah, okay. We'll help you. I'll prod you every time. It's like, hey, lively. Get lively.
That's right. So, Caleb, tell us about your organization.
Right. So Rebuilding Together is really focused on a different part of the housing spectrum than what we normally hear about. As you mentioned, homelessness and affordability are first and foremost in most people's minds in our region, and for good reason. But you know, what do you do for all of those folks that already have a home to be able to stay there long term in the communities that they know and that they love?
Right. And especially with people living longer.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And what do you do to make sure that in those homes that they're safe and that they're healthy, that they're not at risk of injury or sickness because of their home?
Right.
So that's what we focus on at Rebuilding Together.
And what are some examples of projects? How does it work with Rebuilding Together Seattle?
Yeah, it works in a lot of ways, but primarily it works through volunteers. So we utilize volunteer labor and in-kind resources and corporate partners and others who want to have an impact on the community to come in and do repairs in a person's home entirely at no cost to them. So
how do they find you, though?
And these are extremely low-income homeowners, I should mention, too.
Right.
So, we're not talking about going into a
middle-class
family.
You have criteria for that, right?
Right.
Don't they have to be, like, below 80% of the median income?
Right, below 50%.
Oh, okay. 50%.
Veterans we serve at 80%, so okay. a little bit higher income. And that's usually because they have additional benefits that
right.
that they're earning a little bit more. But to give you, put it into perspective a little bit, our average household last year was earning just $18,160.
Oh, my
wow.
gosh.
So that's not a lot. If you look at federal poverty levels,
that's like somebody right.
around $16,000. Exactly, exactly.
Well,
they're living
on in a city where our median sale price is up over $700,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. $900,000 over in Bellevue.
Right. So yeah. what type of projects does your organization work on?
So we work on everything from simple, easy fixes that anybody could do and should be doing in their house or for their parents or mm-hmm. family members. Things like putting in grab bars in the bathroom and changing outlets to, you know, GFCI outlets, for example,
mm-hmm.
And more complex projects like replacing a window or repairing a furnace or restoring water to a home. We do a big event at the end of April called Spring Rebuilding Day and have about 25 or so different houses being worked
mm-hmm.
on at the
yeah,
same
yeah.
time. And there was one this year that a woman had been living without water for a number of years. She had a leak in her line, and so she had to shut off the main. Every time that she needed water, she would turn back on the main, go outside and use a spigot outside to fill up a few buckets of water. And
oh, my
she
goodness.
Did that for multiple
this
years.
Is all,
so.
Well, and I had the pleasure to volunteer a couple years ago for your organization, and we had a big team come into a home. With this home had two teenage boys, both were football players, and there was no functioning shower mm-hmm. in the house. There was no drain in the kitchen. You know, there was only maybe half of the light fixtures were working, and I asked the mom, I go, you got two big strapping boys, where do they like shower mm-hmm. and everything? She goes, oh, well, they just do it at school.
Right.
And, it was really something. But, boy, it was amazing to me in the course of one day how much progress was made on that home. It was huge.
Mm-hmm.
So, everything was kind of up and running by the time we left. So it's a really satisfying thing to volunteer for something like that.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that is one of the unique things about our work is that you get to see a tangible result at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You leave a project knowing that somebody has really benefited, and you can see the ways that this is going to change or improve somebody's life by having, you know, safer conditions or reduced fire hazards or, you know, avoiding falls in the home or, all
right.
other kinds of things.
Because falls can be the most deadly, you know, and cause somebody to have to move into other kinds of facilities.
Right.
So the more that you can remove these issues, definitely the better that, what do they call it, aging in place
mm-hmm.
has as an opportunity. In fact, I'm working with several people right now that is what's becoming the issue and why they're selling their homes. We have one gal who has a two-story home, and she, as much as possible, tries to avoid going up the steep staircase in her house because it's like a kind of a 1940s home, but it looks like an old 1920s cottage style. And it has a very tight stairwell in the center of it. And for her, it's becoming this hazard of, you know, she only has a few things up there, and it's only the stuff she just doesn't even use anymore. And we're having to help prepare her for going on market. And, you know, she wants to move into a condo that's a one level ground floor so that she can age in place and be independent for as long as possible. Because a lot of people really want and just desire that independence, right?
Absolutely.
And how our society is even changing on how we use vehicles, you know, and mm-hmm. going to more city center centric places where people can still walk to or get to places without having to go long distances on, you know, mass transit. Even though we're building out more infrastructure, there's still a lot of folks that are like, I don't want to have to be on a bus all day or a cost of an Uber or whatever it's going to be just to get to my services. So that is something we're constantly dealing with people in their homes. But I love that, you know, you can do something for people to make it as viable as long as possible. And I know I asked you just a minute ago, like, how people find you, but really, I'm on your website, which is rtseattle.org.
That's right.
For anybody who wants to check it out, it's RT, meaning, you know, Rebuilding Together Seattle.org. And I see there's like a homeowner application, but can anyone sign someone up? Because, I mean, if an elder person, like one of the clients, I'm closing on a property today, he was a listener to our show, and he came to us, and this house was, I mean, his doctor told him literally, you need to sell this house. It's killing you. You trying to maintain it, you doing all this, like it's really impacting your health and your well-being. And so we're selling the house, and he's moving elsewhere where he's got one floor and all that. Mm-hmm. But in his case, he's been kind of cut off because he doesn't have a computer. So I think about some of these elderly folks, and like the gal that we're also working with right now down in Skyway. And, you know, she has a computer, but she doesn't get on very often. It can sometimes get confusing for her. I mean, can someone else make application for a person if they see them in this situation, or what typically happens?
They can. We have, and I should have gone back and answered your question more fully, but most folks come through us through referrals, either other agencies or service providers or case managers, other people that they're working with. But we do have a number of folks who whose children apply for them, for example, or even a neighbor or another relative. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, situations with siblings who, you know, are supporting another sibling by providing them a place to live, but don't have the extra funds to maintain it.
Right. Yeah, because it is definitely expensive to do all these things, and time intrusive. And a lot of times the way families are spread out right now, that's another thing, is that, you know, I have clients from across the country who are having us work with family members out here because they just can't be here. You know, people follow the jobs nowadays, and so sometimes they're far, far away and can't be actively engaged, even if they're helping with maybe paying bills. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is something I have to be thinking about for my own mother coming up, because sometimes she gets into financial binds, but I'm not physically there for her. So I oftentimes am sending funds to my local brother, who then goes out and does the work for her. But if he wasn't there, I would definitely need a service like this.
Well, and to be honest, most of the people that we're serving, you know, they're in the positions that they're in for a number of reasons, but it's often because they've exhausted their other resources, whether that's their social network or their financial resources. So there's usually more going on than just that they weren't able to maintain their home.
Exactly.
You know, there may be other
It's
other
bigger social impact.
Yeah,
definitely. Well, like the gentleman who was closing with us this week, you know, as he put it, he was having to use his credit card to buy his friends breakfast, lunch, and dinner to keep them motivated. So anyway, we're going to talk more about this when we get back from our break. But we have Caleb Marshall, the executive director of Rebuilding Together Seattle, on with us on Open House with Team Reba. We'll be right back.
Open House with Team Reba on AM 1590. The Answer.